quack, 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 quack,
welcome back to D5, the Mighty Ducks, the show where we look back at the 1994 Disney hockey sequel, D2, the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and this is going to be an interesting episode. I originally had a guest scheduled, and my best friend, one of my best friends, and he had to back out of the show because of dealing with his wife and their soon-to-be baby. So then I had a backup plan, and he fell through. So I had a guest on the line now who is planning on coming on later in the movie, and she still is. But she jumped on an awesome relief move here. Tierney C. O'Callaghan, welcome to the show.
I'm not a lady. I'm a duck.
Well done. Well done.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on in relief for this episode. I greatly appreciate it.
There we go. Yeah, no, I'm happy to be back. I'm going to try and not be thrown every single episode when these start airing, when you introduce your show, D5, which is completely legitimately named D5. I get it. I get the concept 5 minutes at a time, but man, do I just expect you to say D2 every single time.
Well, what's funny is that this title of the show still confuses Niall McGowan. Been doing this for 2 years, and it still confuses him. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. We've been doing this for 2 years. I'm going to think people would get it by now.
No. You're going to be done, and I'll still be like, D5.
the new TV series on Disney Plus will have started, and we'll still be confused by the title of this show. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into our minutes, you're new to this season, so won't you tell us your history with this movie?
Oh, I would love to. I love this movie. I saw it, I think, in theaters, but I was looking at the release date, and I'm like, maybe it was like a second run or something, because I could have sworn I saw it in the summer. I fell in love with Charlie Conway. I'd seen the first movie, and I liked it fine. You know, I was the right age. I was in elementary school, like, you know, middle school kids playing hockey. It was a good time, but I didn't really think anything that much of it. And then I went and saw this movie, and I was like, hello. Hi. So there's this boy, and I love him now. And then I came back to school, and that's why I was like, I thought it was a summer movie. Because I have a distinct memory of us having a dance in fifth grade, which was very unusual. And they played what I can only assume was a very heavily edited version of Whoop, There It Is. And every single kid in my fifth grade lost their minds because we'd all seen this movie and become obsessed over the summer.
Oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic.
So it was one of those beautiful, magical, right movie at the right time things. It's like the 70s kids who talk about seeing Star Wars when they were like five.
Right.
And how it like changed their lives. And I obviously did not have that, but by God, we had D2, the Mighty Ducks.
It is pretty funny when I watched this before we started this, season. I'm like, wow, this is such a great movie, but like, there's no reason why the sequel should be so great. Like, there's no reason.
This is our Godfather 2, essentially.
There you go.
Before we had the Godfather, before we were old enough to watch the Godfather and the Godfather Part 2, We had Mighty Ducks and D2 the Mighty Ducks.
Yes. And much like the Godfather Part 3, we'll get to D3 another time.
And it has some good. It's not like a complete failure of a movie. It's not like, but it's definitely playing on a different level.
It's definitely making me think about doing it in this format. I'm just leaving it at that.
Five minutes at a time. You can do it. You just power right through that one.
I'll worry about it next year when we do it next year.
Yeah.
Disney Plus will be a great help for that next year. Anyway, let's get to the movie we have in place of us. So we are continuing.
Yeah, because this is an awesome section.
Yeah, we're continuing right after Portman and Fulton completely bash everybody's heads for no real reason, just to entertain everybody, and they're being put in the penalty box with Kenny Wu, and the party begins.
The third Dutch brother!
Oh my gosh, this is so entertaining. This is so fun to watch.
Oh, there are so many violations in this. Like, the hockey rule, there are no rules.
No.
Even in just these 5 minutes, goodness.
I know. It's funny.
I have no words.
It's funny because at least they like said they got a 10-minute misconduct for like, tapping everybody on the head. Like, okay. That's at least a good detail. I'll give you credit for that. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a lot of credit. But I will never understand to this day. I am a diehard hockey fan. Like, diehard, love the sport. I do not understand. And I know it's a movie. But how does Dwayne doing the roping only constitute as 2 minutes? Like, how does that make any sense?
It's ridiculous. Most of the players in these movies should be ejected almost immediately. And, one of the trivia things that I think I had known, I knew on some level, I just had never thought about it. So many people take off their helmets on the ice in these movies.
Yes! It's so true!
These 5 minutes, Dwayne is out there without a helmet, Connie takes off her, everyone takes off their helmets so much. And I was reading, in this level of hockey, they should have their helmets on all the time when they're on the bench, even.
I know. And, you know,
I will
let it slide on the bench. I'll let it slide. But, right, Connie, at least the play was not going on. But when Dwayne gets on the ice, number one, our first question about Dwayne, why was there a rope on the bench? Like, why is that there? Like, I don't understand.
Ropes like that don't come up in hockey. I mean, I realize I've only played, just pickup games with my friends, not for real, but I know people who have played real hockey, and at no level have I ever seen a rope.
No. That's number one.
Like, coiled up like that.
And number two, he goes on the ice without a helmet during live play, which is automatically a penalty. There should be too many men on the ice called here as well. And then he does this ridiculous thing with the ropes, and they don't equal it out to 2 minutes. It's so weird.
It's so weird, and it's funny watching this now as an adult in 2020. Like, it really hit me differently. I actually didn't like this now. I love Connie's response with her, "I'm not a lady, I'm a duck," which is just iconic. And I mean, Marguerite Moreau can do no wrong in my book. It's totally fine. It's fine. I'm not in love with her. It's okay. But I hate this. Because you see her get stuck in the corner. Okay, fine. The guy's coming at her. Well, guess what? She's a hockey player. Like, yeah, it's going to suck to get slammed on the boards. That's what she signed up for. That's what she's been doing, her whole hockey life. And I hate this whole, Dwayne is the hero. He can't stand to see. And then he's like, where I come from, we treat ladies with respect. And it's just like, Dwayne, shut up. Like... Nobody asked you to do this.
True. Nobody asked you to do. She's not a damsel in distress. That's not a thing here.
That's the thing. He plays it as a damsel in distress, and it is only redeemed because Shamidi is like, "Thanks, Dwayne, but I had this under control."
Yes, but she's a duck. That's the important part.
And then she hits a player and should also be immediately ejected.
Yeah. Well,
with
so
her helmet off. I mean, it's. Yeah.
There's so much of that just
happens. It's madness.
Well, the funny part is, a lot of the hits, that... a a lot of the hits are like clean hits. They look so bad, but if you're watching the hits, they're actually clean. I'm like, holy crap, are they actually really clean hits? Like their shoulders, they're like no like, like bad headshot. Everything's like shoulder to shoulder or shoulder to head. Like it's nothing illegal. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to watch.
That's awesome. I never noticed before just watching this little chunk and really paying attention so that I could, you know, be a knowledgeable podcast guest.
Right.
I love the little look Charlie and Bombay exchange on the side. Like, they are just so like, oh, these idiots. Like, when Dwayne ropes him, you've got to look at them right after Dwayne ropes and he's like pulling away and they are just like, these assholes.
We've got,
like, if Charlie were an adult, it'd be like, let's just go get a drink.
Yeah, I have it on the screen. They look at each other. That's fantastic. That was great.
They cut back. Charlie somehow got a bourbon.
Suddenly, Charlie's like a coach. Like, legitimately a coach. Like, he's so annoying.
But that's when I fell in love with him. I'll talk about it more when we're on later, but the first moment, because again, I saw this, I was in elementary school. I knew boys existed. I knew boys were different than girls. I had figured that much out at this point.
Right.
But Banks comes in, and he says he woke up this morning and the pain was gone. And you see Russ start to take off his jersey, and Charlie puts out his hand and stops Russ from taking off his jersey. And that was the first moment that my brain went, "Hello, what just happened? What are these thoughts percolating?" And then the whole coaching scene happened, and we'll get to me later in the movie when I realized, like, oh, boys are a thing.
Yes.
Him becoming the coach was, like, the start of that, was, like, my start of, like, there's something about this guy. I love Charlie being old man dad on the bench.
Okay, out of curiosity, and I'll cut this out if you don't want this to open up, how old are you, Terry?
I was born in 1984.
Okay, so you're about 2 years
I would have
older
to do math.
You're 2 years younger than me. Okay, I just wanted to know. Like, okay. We're in the same age range. We're in the same range. Okay, because I was 82. So Nick, I just wanted to see we're in the same age range. We're good.
Yeah. I was just younger enough that it was like, okay, it was probably something else. And I loved, it was a few years ago, BuzzFeed had a bunch of articles, and they were like, my sexual awakening was Devin Sawa and Casper at the end when he's a real boy. And then someone did it about the hand in the car in Titanic. Where, like, there's just that moment where you're sitting in a movie theater and all of a sudden you look up at the screen and you're like, oh, hello.
That's fantastic.
And I always joked that Charlie Conway in this movie was that for me.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Oh man, your sexual awakening.
And I definitely developed crushes on Devin Sawa, but Joshua Jackson in these movies came first, chronologically.
Okay, out of curiosity, are you a Dawson Creek fan?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Okay, so am I. I joke about that. I actually have the Dawson's Creek Funko Pops on my shelf. So I do have a Josh Jackson Funko.
I have
a Josh Jackson Funko. So
I have one. So my son's name is Patrick, and actually I call him Pacey. So my husband for Mother's Day, he got me the Pacey Funko Pop.
There you go.
So yeah, he's like, we had to have this, right? I'm like, yes, we did. Thank you.
Yes. Well,
so,
there you go.
Anyway, that's a whole different podcast, which I would be happy to guest on. I have a lot of feelings about that character and his development over the years.
Oh, trust me. As I grow up, that show, I love that show more as I get older. Like, I love that show so much. So don't worry.
Yeah.
I get it. Anyway, let's get back to this.
I literally just dropped this on a podcast I recorded last night for the summer, that Jen Lindley was completely unappreciated by me when I was a teenage girl. And now as an adult, I'm just like, she's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. I can agree with that sentiment. I could totally agree with this. Actually,
yeah.
I see myself in Pacey now than I did when I realized, I grew up, I'm Pacey. I am Pacey. Like, I know I am. Watching the show back. Like, that was me growing up. Like, that was me.
Yep.
So.
It's like, oh, whoops. Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, Jen Lindley was cool in a way that I did not appreciate, whereas the girls in this movie, I was just like, they're amazing, and I love them, and everything is awesome.
By the way, I'll bring us back to this
like,
movie.
Like, Connie and Julie are the best.
Yeah, we'll bring it back to this movie. Connie, she glowed up fantastic. I saw her at a reunion for the Ducks a couple of years, I think last year. She glowed up amazing. She's so beautiful now. Like, it's amazing.
Have you seen Wet Hot American Summer?
No, I am not. But now I think I want to.
Okay. You definitely want to, even if you don't. So the thing is, it's a movie by the guys that did The State and Stella.
Okay.
Michael Ian Black and Michael Showalter and Wayne. Why can't I think of the other guys? David Wayne.
Okay.
They made a movie. It is set on the last day of camp, 1981.
Okay.
And it is basically kind of a modernized Meatballs, but it's a lot of absurdist humor. And so I have found that people tend to either love it or not hate it, but just kind of be like, oh, I never needed to watch that. Like, why did we watch that? And I'm sitting there looking at them like, what are you talking about? This is the greatest movie ever made. She's in it as the love interest.
I have it on my screen here. Netflix. Yeah, okay, it's on Netflix. Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Hopefully it's your type of humor, but even if it's not, you will appreciate the Katie character.
Cool. I will have to look this up. Now that I know it's on Netflix, when we're done here, I'll put it on my queue and I'll get to it.
Sounds good. Sounds good to me. She is fantastic. And this line is iconic, so I'm really glad. Like that and the puck flip at the end. Oh, it's just so, they're wonderful characters. And I do like that. They were never presented as girly girls off, like, worried about chipping a nail on the ice or anything.
Exactly. And
they also still got to be love interests.
Exactly. They weren't that. Like, and also, they're not positioned to be role models, but they can be if you want them to be. You know, that's the best part about the females in this movie.
Because it's really rare to have a girl who plays a sport dominated by boys, deals with the sexism, is pretty, like, can be the love interest, but that isn't the only thing she's there. Like, that's not what she's there for.
Right. And we do have Connie.
But that doesn't.
Connie is with Guy. So keep that in mind. They do have a weird, weird relationship thing. But it's literally touched on twice in the entire movie. Like, it's not really touched on at all.
Yeah.
Which I do appreciate.
It's just part of her character.
Right.
She is a girlfriend and a hockey player. Those are both completely legitimate parts of her character that, you know, overlap sometimes, but it's not like one led to the other. You know, well, in her case, it originally did, but like within the context of this movie.
No, I get it.
Like,
exactly,
she is Team USA on her merits.
Right. She's just a great player. That's it. She's just a good player. So we end the period after the wonderful
Speaking of
disgust
Team
looks.
USA.
Yeah, wonderful disgust looks on Conway and Gordon. Hysterical. So funny. I didn't point that out. That's really funny. 4-1 Iceland at the end of two. And the crowd does not seem happy, even though they're so entertained. Probably the last, like, 5-6 minutes. So we get inside to the locker room. And this is where probably one of the more well-known scenes of this whole movie happens. Right here. This is one of the most well-known ones.
Yeah.
And I completely now side with Gordon in this scene. Like, I side with him now. Like, I get where he's coming from.
I think I like that he immediately gets into, well, they're laughing too because they're winning. Like, he's not just being a hard ass with no explanation. So even if you're a kid who's just like, what is he talking about? The last 10 minutes of this film were amazing. You get why he's mad.
Right. I
like,
do like the
like
word.
It's not one of those.
It's not a hockey game. This is a circus. That's a great line. It's such a great point. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is not a game. We didn't play games.
Yeah.
This is not hockey.
It is.
Ay-yi-yi.
Everything has gone crazy. I do think, I am not a coach. I would not know how to do this. I do think maybe there was a way to do this differently that could have, like, capitalized on how hyped up his players were, because he immediately smacks them down into, like, the stunned silence. And, you know, he doesn't know Jan is about to walk in with the jerseys. What was his plan?
Like, we'll get to Jan. I have so many questions. So many questions about that. We'll get to that in a minute. So many questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But before we get to that,
we're still in the USA jerseys. Yeah. Let's talk. Somehow Dwayne has not been thrown out of the stadium completely.
We start the speech, and he has some valid points here. Pretty much saying part of him cheered when Dwayne roped that big mm-hmm. oaf. Great line. But he also says that he wanted to cream that jerk that busted his knee. Fair enough. And he wanted to go after Stanton mm-hmm. after that cheap shot. But he didn't. Because he actually has pride, which is a weird way of looking at things. pride in himself, I guess. We'll go with it.
Yeah.
So.
He's making a really good point in a way that is nice for kids watching this movie.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it makes sense what he, like, you understand what he's saying. Like, I wanted to do these things, but I didn't. I don't know that the lesson is because he had pride. That feels like a little bit of a mixed metaphor, but the actual story he's telling is good.
It is. And there's also a point. They're not goons, which is true. That was a point that he made at the beginning of this movie, that's not how they play hockey. This is not how they do things.
No. Eventually, we'll all grow up and get to watch Slapshot, and then we can watch Goon.
I see what you did there. Well, we go at this, and then we start this. Okay, I've been comparing this movie to Miracle for the entire run of this movie. Like, Miracle is one of my favorite sports movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been comparing this movie to The Miracle on Ice for a long time. I do not think this was intentional.
Yeah.
Because obviously, this was first. This movie was first. But, like, in Miracle, there's obviously the whole thing where Herb Brooks is trying to get into their heads as their Team USA. And he keeps asking, who are you? Who do you play for? Who are you? Who do you play for? I know that was absolutely not inspired by this, but it's so weird this is in here, and that's also in Miracle.
Oh.
It's so weird.
No, I'm happy to be Team the movie Miracle ripped off Mighty Ducks, too.
Okay, there you go.
Like, that's fine. Prove me wrong.
Fair enough. But I do love this. Like, the whole...
Another great hockey movie.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Miracle is on my list to tie in with the Olympics in a few years. So don't worry. I'm getting there.
You know...
I am getting
actually,
there.
Actually, it's a really... Yeah. I'm really glad to hear that. But I think it perfectly illustrates... I just referenced Slapshot, which obviously is a much older movie. But even the same thing. Yeah, kids can watch Miracle, but they don't get it in a way that they got these movies.
Oh, no.
The target audience for Miracle was not 9-year-olds.
Oh, hell no. No.
In suburban Connecticut.
I appreciate that movie because I'm a hockey historian and I'm a big Team USA person. But no, like, my son would not be able to watch Miracle and understand it like I do. You know what I mean? This is not a movie for him. This is a movie for him. This is for him. So. Yeah. But so we do this, and I love this. I love this whole "Where are you from?" Like, I love this so much. It also shows how like how many states are represented on this team. Like, I didn't realize it until they went through this. Like, wow, it really is heavily representing the whole country here.
But still heavily weighted to Minnesota.
Well, that's how, you know what? That's how Team USA. Was
all hockey
in the
teams
80s.
Are.
That's how it was in the '80s with the Team USA, the Olympics.
A lot of names
for
Boston
and
Minnesota.
People say the same thing at the same time. But so here we go. We have Illinois. We have Minnesota. We have Maine, of course. Florida, Pennsylvania. More Minnesota. LA, California. More California. Geez, a lot of California. And Texas. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. It's good groups. We have representing everywhere, which is nice. And that's where we start the whole Team USA. We gather from all across America, and we stick together. You know why. And this is where Jan walks in. Now, the question is here. Number one, was Jan in the background listening to this whole thing? Was kind of standing back there waiting for his cue.
Waiting for his moment. This box is getting heavy. Hurry up.
And did Bob Bay know he was back there, or is this a surprise? Like, that part is never explained.
He looks surprised when he first walks in. But I have, you're right, I have so many questions because These jerseys take a while to make.
Yes, that's the other thing.
Like, why did he wait for now?
When did he have the time to do this? He's not at home.
What?
He's
is
not, like, by his
on?
Shop. When did he have time to do this? Yay.
Oh, my God. Well, then you could get weird. I mean, did he just run over to the Anaheim gift shop and raid them? And...
Well, the funny part is technically, if you go by the canon of the third movie, the NHL mm-hmm. was inspired by them in this movie to make the Ducks, according to the canon of the third movie. So,
God bless you, Disney.
Yeah, they wrote that
you mess
canon.
Of a conglomerate.
They wrote that into a line that Charlie says in the third
they
movie.
They had to write it in. I have to say, I've never been sadder. I did a half marathon at Disneyland, and because Disneyland is smaller, you actually end up running through a bunch of things in Anaheim. And I happened to be on one. I got to run by the hockey stadium, but there was a route, and it wasn't the one that my race did, where you actually ran through the Angels Stadium.
Oh, wow.
And I can only imagine that they were just sick of people doing the arm-waving thing while they were doing it. But I was waiting for them, because you sign up for the race, and it's months and months before you get to see the route. And I was just like, God, I wanted funny. The Anaheim one. I wanted the Angels one so bad.
That's a funny reference. That's a great one. Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah.
That's for people that missed the reference. Angels in the Outfield. Well done. Well done. I like that one.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's great.
Not everyone saw every Disney sports movie made in 1994.
I did, but a lot of people did not. I get your reference 100%.
Well, they're missing out.
Yeah,
But yeah, I got to run by.
Were weird. Cool. Sports movies in the 90s were strange. They were all over the place. So
glorious. It was a golden age. I've actually written blog posts for different things saying, like, it was a golden age. If you were a kid who was into sports, the mid-90s were just perfect for movies coming out. And
you had one for every sport. You have one for every sport. That's the best part.
Yeah. I was super bummed because at one point when I was in college, I was going to get, because you can customize jerseys and the NHL pro shops, and I was going to make myself a Charlie Conway jersey from the scene. And I was a poor college student, and I hesitated. And by the time I was like, no, screw it, it's worth it. The Ducks, it doesn't look like that anymore.
Oh. Gotcha.
So I have got to imagine someone somewhere on this earth for the right price would make me this jersey with Conway 96 and the C on it. But the last I checked, the customized shop in Anaheim's pro shop did not.
Yeah.
And I was super mad at myself for not spending the $80 back then.
Well, what's funny is I go to Admirals games like a lot around here, and there is always somebody that comes to Admirals, Milwaukee Admirals games here, wearing a Charlie Conway original Mighty Ducks jersey. Every game, I see him. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous to me. I'm like, where did you get that? I really want one. Like, where did you get that?
Oh, do you know how many people have been like, oh, Tierney, I found one, and I'm just like, it's the green one. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
You want this one. You want this one, yes.
Yes, these are the ones that wormed their way into my heart.
Yeah, well, before we even get to the jersey reveal, I have to bring up the ridiculous Ducks Fly Together montage here of all the stuff that makes sense, and then when Dwayne drops the line that makes everybody
right.
look at him like, what the hell are you talking about?
Here's a problem. Here's a problem that I never thought about before.
Go for it.
What Teach says doesn't make sense either.
Let's see.
What's her line? She's like, when the clouds are dark and the weather's changing or something. I'm like,
the sky is black. I don't understand that either. That makes no sense.
None of this makes sense, actually. I think Dwayne got a raw deal. Like, yes, what he says is weird, but what they are doing is weird.
It's a great line, though. It's a great
it
line.
Is weird, but so is what everyone said.
Well, it reminds me. Have you seen the Muppets movie with Jason Segel?
No.
Okay. In that movie.
I have seen part of Muppets Treasure Island, and that's it. It hides in shame.
Well, I will say, though, it's the Muppets, Jason Segel, might just be the best Muppets movie ever made. I love that movie so much. But there's a song, and they're called Lifeless Song. It's a great song. And they, like, go through this whole spiel where they stop at, like, different vendors. And they explain how that's part of greatness in your life. The comparison, making rhymes. It's so stupid, but it's so Muppets. And then we get to it, where he goes and says, they stop at, like, a fish vendor. And he says, life's the fillet of fish. And they both look at him like, yes, it is. We just keep going. It's the same thing here. We're like, what? What did you say?
Yeah,
I'll put that clip in here. People that don't get my reference, I'll put it here. There you go.
Awesome. Good.
Anyway, so this is when we have the reveal of the jerseys, and the jersey reveal is fantastic, but it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It makes zero sense.
Like so much of sports movies for children, it's fantastic, but when you think about it, it makes no sense, and everyone should be banned for life.
It's such a beautiful logo. And officially, this is the debut of that Ducks logo.
Mm-hmm.
Because the franchise was not officially announced until after this movie was filmed. So, there you go. So, this is the official debut of this logo. That
yep.
Never won a Stanley Cup wearing this logo, but there you go.
They won the We're not there yet. It's so cheesy, and it was so Disney wanting to announce, like, it just is, and yet I don't care, and I love it.
The new team, like, they're in the building, and they're going to be playing. The Ducks are going to be playing. They're wearing this brand new jersey that no one's ever seen before. Like, it's so Disney. This is so Disney.
Bombay in the jacket is what really gets me. For some reason, I have, like, internalized the jerseys to be fine with, but Bombay in, like, the merch makes me laugh.
Yeah, when did he have time to get the jacket made? Like, when did that happen? Like, I think that makes no sense. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's magic.
Ay-yi-yi.
None of this makes any sense.
No.
If he had them made, why did he wait for the second This is magic within the movie's world.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here, I'm just thinking about, like, because he made a big deal that the shop was closed when he came here. Like, he made a big deal out of that. So, obviously, no one's in the shop. We don't have, like, Amazon shipping that we have nowadays. Like, there's nothing here that says this makes any sense. So,
this is literally impossible.
In so many bizarre ways.
And one thing to keep an eye out for as you go along, I don't know if I get to see it in this one, but I know you see it later when they're playing, is the Fulton Reed jersey controversy.
What was that?
Did you notice this before?
I don't think I have. Guys, explain.
Oh my gosh. So I didn't think about this. So when they go into the penalty box, and there are three Bash Brothers, and everyone's been, by the way, I hate when people do that, when they lean on the glass and it bends like that.
I'm so paranoid it's gonna break.
Just too anxious. Exactly. And I had friends that did it in college when we go to hockey games. I'm just like, stop it. You see, you know, Portman, Reed. And for the rest of this game, you're going to see Portman, Fulton.
Oh my gosh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
His jersey says Fulton.
That's so true. I never even thought about that.
It's so weird.
That doesn't make any sense at all. You're absolutely right. Wow, that's amazing. I never thought about that. That's great. The funny part is, I have Fulton on my screen right here. It's so true.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Wow. That's crazy.
I would like to thank whoever made that mistake. And it makes sense. As someone who has a first name that is traditionally a last name, I totally get that someone was handed a list and was like, Fulton must be the last name, and didn't, like, go any further than that.
Yes.
But I just love that it made it to, like, that was it. Like Disney couldn't afford to make another jersey.
Especially in the building that you'll be selling them anyway. You know what I mean? Like, who's selling them here?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Or did the actor, like, the actor knows what his character's full name is, right?
Maybe he knew, and he wanted to see how long he could get away with it. You know what I mean? Like, I can totally see that happening.
That's what I mean. It's got to be something like that. Like, it makes no sense that this made it this far in the process.
So maybe he noticed it, and he was like, oh, they'll notice it. It's not a big problem. And he's like, well, no one's noticing it. Hey, I'm going to stick with this and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, he is a kid. Maybe he knows and is like, I don't know who to tell about this, and I don't want to get in trouble, even though it's not my fault. That's a very kid mentality.
True,
like,
true.
Oh, I'll get in trouble, even though it is in no way his fault.
Or he's
like,
just
he did not make this.
Them. He's completely trolling them, knowing that it's a mistake, and not telling them. I can totally see that happening, too. So, well, on that note.
Like, hello.
On that note, let's get out of this episode. Tyranny, why don't you get your plugs in? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. I will plug my website. It's onesteelsister.com, onesteelsister.com. And I'm plugging that because I am about to make my fifth podcast about a movie.
Oh, my God.
This summer, I'm going to be doing A League of Their Own.
Yay!
I'm not doing it 1 minute at a time, but I am doing a substantial series on it. And so, yeah, if you go to my website, in addition to writing, including a blog post defending the greatness of the 1994 Angels in the Outfield remake, and comparing it to the... what would that have been? 2018 Angels? 2019 Angels? I don't know. Mike Trout was on the team. But yeah, I've done Return to Oz Minute, The Neverending Minute, and Joe Versus the Minute, and MASH Minute. So
there you go.
I have been all over the block.
sounds like it to me. And I'm exhausted from just doing Clerks Minute, doing two movies and then two movies of this. Like, and doing my other stuff on top of it. So
yeah, I no longer work a full-time job, if that's any indication, like
help.
A 9-to-5.
That does
I definitely
help.
Work full-time. I no longer get paid for it.
Well, that does help. So as for me, let's plug the show here at D5 the Mighty Ducks at all social media platforms and all podcasting platforms. You can listen to the show. We're almost done, people. We're actually in the third period of play. We're getting there. We're almost there. Another editing thing when it comes to guests. Last season, we had Sean Gurman and Dave Ballas on for the big third period games of the period episodes last season. Well, Dave got sick right before recording, so we had to drop out. So it was just Sean for the next 2 weeks. So come back next week and enjoy Sean Gurman for the first of two episodes with him. So we'll do that. On that note, Tyranny, thank you so much for subbing in on this show. This is a lot
you
of fun.
You don't sound tired at all as you're in the... home stretch, I swear.
I'm very good at disguising my voice. So, thank you so much, Tyranny. This episode was fantastic. We'll definitely be joining back up in a little while to do our next episode.
Thanks for having me. I will talk to everyone later.
Yes, and thank you all for listening to the show. I'll see you next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.